Once again, good morning. There's a version of that song that the choir just sang. I may have told you this before, by one of the best singer-songwriters out there right now named Peter Bradley Adams. Look, y'all's version is the best, okay? The Peter Bradley Adams version is really great. I'm pretty sure I'm going to listen to it driving home today. I would really encourage you to listen to it. It's just such a beautiful hymn done in a different way. So that's a complete side note, but I'd encourage you to take a look at that. We're talking about lies this morning. So this should be a lot of fun and lighthearted, okay? I'm going to go ahead and tell you, there are going to be some heavier moments, okay? Preparing this message, there were a few gut punches along the way. In fact, it was a gut punch that I received that I'm going to tell you about that really prompted us to do this whole series over the next 3 weeks looking at lies. Looking at what are the common lies that we believe individually and as a society. What damage can lies do? I mean, what do lies do in our lives? And most importantly, what hope can we find? Okay, look, there can be some gut punches along the way, but I really have found preparing these messages to be really hope-giving and inspiring in my life, and that's what I hope. I hope that they're going to be encouraging to you also. I mean, here's what we know. We interact with people. I mean, this is just, it's what we do every day. We interact with people. And people sometimes lie. People just sometimes intentionally and sometimes unintentionally believe and speak untruths. We know that you can't believe everything that you read on the internet. We figured that out pretty early on. And we know, we figured this out when we're kids, that you can't believe everything that people say. I mean, it's hard, and kids come to that realization. And that's a hard pill to swallow. But it's just true. But what it takes some of us a lifetime to figure out is that we can't even always believe the stories that we tell ourselves. That sometimes the things that we believe, that they're just not true. Sometimes the stories that we tell ourselves about ourselves, the stories we tell ourselves about God, the story that we tell ourselves about other people, sometimes those stories, they're fiction, they're fantasies, they're just not rooted in reality. And I don't know about you, but for me, I know that there are some lies that it's just time for those to die. It's just time for some lies that impact my life. It's time for those lies to be rooted out of my life. And I have found preparing this to be hope-giving, and I hope that it will be for you also. So that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to identify some lies, we're going to talk about the damage that lies can do, and we're going to talk about the hope that can be found in the midst of all of this. So as we prepare for all of that, let's pray together. God, thank you for this time that we get to spend talking about a heavy subject, but one that I hope that we'll walk out of feeling lighter. There will be moments where it'll be heavy, but I hope that the end will be that we will feel loosened up, that we'll feel a lighter walking out of here. God, we love you. We thank you for the work that you're doing in this world, the work that you're doing in this community that we're a part of here, and the work that you're doing in each of our lives individually. So God, I pray that you take the words that I've prepared and that you bring them to life. I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts, Lord, they'll be pleasing to you. You're our rock and our redeemer. We pray these things in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, so Halloween. We go trick-or-treating. Amy, my wife, and I with our three kids, we do all of that. We come back home. And the kids are bathed in their pajamas, and we let them, you know, eat a little bit of candy, okay? So they're eating candy, and Amy and I are watching the Baylor game, Baylor, West Virginia. It's a Thursday night game. And I'm standing, like, right in front of the TV because it's a close game, okay? I'm right there watching this game. And out of the corner of my eye, I see Mary Frances, our two-year-old daughter. She's walking, you know, kind of towards me. And there's a pillow in her path. I don't see the pillow because, you know, the game, right? Okay. It's a close game. Okay, I don't see the pillow. And in her two-year-old mind, she doesn't think to walk around the pillow. What does she think? I'm just going to walk on the pillow. Okay, so she walks on the pillow, and she bites it hard. And I just kind of vaguely see it, but I very clearly hear it, okay? Her face hits this pine chest in our living room, and it's... I mean, it was loud. It was bad. And then I don't hear anything. So I know either she is knocked out or she's what? That silent cry, right? And I can see her hands kind of going, so I know she's silent crying, you know? So, but there's that split moment. I mean, I was right there. There's this split moment between when I hear her hit and I pick her up when I don't know what her face looks like. And based on the sound, I'm thinking her face might be gone. Like, it was that loud, okay? So I pick her up, and she's got a cut right here on her lip. And it's not bleeding too bad yet. But in a matter of moments, it's just, there's a lot. And she takes it, and then she, of course, rubs all over her face. So, and her 7 and 4-year-old brother, what do they want? They want nothing more in life. Like, they have forgotten about the Reese's peanut butter cups. There's only one thing they want to do. What do they want to do? They don't want to comfort her. They want to see her face, right? I have the wherewithal not to show them her face because they would not be around her for the rest of their lives. Halloween night, their sister's face is covered in blood. They would be scarred forever, okay? So I quickly usher them out of the room. I clean Mary Frances up, and we know immediately we've got to go get stitches, okay? So we get stitches. Have you ever thought about the purpose of stitches? I mean, whether it's on somebody's body or it's in fabric, what is the purpose of a stitch? What's the purpose of a stitch? It's to put two things together that you want to be together. I stitched this. I did that. Okay. It's to put two things together that you want to be together. Have you ever thought about what the purpose of a lie is? I mean, what's the purpose of a lie? I mean, you can look at this just purely on like the psychological plane, or you can look at this on the spiritual plane. If you look at it on the spiritual plane, make sure that you note this. Third chapter of Genesis, one of the first stories in the Bible. Adam and Eve, everything's going great. Things are great with them. Things are great with God. And then before they sin and eat the apple, what happens? Here comes the serpent representing Satan. And what does the serpent do? He lies. He plants a seed in Eve's brain, and then that seed that he plants in her brain, it leads to actions, and then through that and Adam's own actions, their relationship begins to fray, and their relationship with God begins to fray. What's the purpose of a lie? What does a lie do? Really pretty simple. A lie undoes. A lie tears things apart that should be together. Okay, if you need a little bit of help getting there, we're going to get there. But first, let's do a little activity together, okay? We crowdsourced this week some lies that people believe. We just sent out a note to some people and said, what are the common lies that people believe? And I've got a list here. I'm going to read some of these off, and will you just take, you don't have to remember all of these, but will you just do something to acknowledge when there's one of these that that you can relate with? You don't have to raise your hand. That would be embarrassing. Okay, in fact, don't do that. But will you just either make a mental little check mark? Yep, that one gets me. That's got a foothold in my mind. Or you can kind of tap your leg, you know. You can tap the person next to you, okay, for your lies, not for theirs, okay? Some of you brought friends with you. Some of you brought friends knowing that we were going to talk about lies. You can tap them when, that's the reason I brought you here. Okay, you can do that. Just do something. Here are some of them. Nobody gets me. I'm not good enough. I'm not pretty enough. Net worth equals self-worth. I heard that on Oprah one time. Nobody likes me. He's just selfish. She's the worst. I should be making more money by now. I don't belong. They're talking about me. They're definitely talking about me. It's not that bad. Any of those stick with you? I'm only a mess because he's a mess. He's selfish. That was unforgivable. I deserve this. I can do it alone. I can't do it. I'm unlovable. This is under control. The better people know me, the less people like me. Any of those lies get a foothold in you? There's this idea that I've been wrestling with recently. I started wrestling with it when I was doing the dishes a few weeks ago, and somebody had said something earlier that day, and I was still thinking about it. And what they had said was kind of at this level, but through all the traps that I had run what they said through, it had been escalated in my mind to like way up here. You know what I mean? And I'm sitting there doing the dishes, and I realize I am telling myself stories. And these stories might be fiction. These stories might be fantasies. And I begin to realize I'm allowing lies to impact me and to impact my relationship. I'm sitting there doing the dishes and realize this. And I realize that this is the way this seems to work. Lies get into my mind. They get a foothold there. I don't know if you can relate with this. They get a foothold in my head. And then they quickly move from my head where? They get a foothold in my heart. I think something, and then I begin to feel something. And then once I feel it, what does that impact? Well, that impacts my actions. And then what do my actions impact? Well, that impacts my relationships. And if enough of us do this, well, our frayed relationships, they can impact whole cultures. They can impact the dynamic that I have in my family. Like, lies can be running my family. They can impact my workplace. If enough of us believe it, they can impact our culture as a whole. They start here, they move here, and then they go out. Here's an example of a lie that people believe. I love this example so much. C.S. Lewis was a famous Christian, one of the most prolific authors of the 20th century. He was an atheist who set out to disprove Christianity. When he started studying what Christians actually believed, he became a Christian himself. Wrote Mere Christianity, one of the greatest nonfiction works in Christian literature of the last 100 years. And he wrote some fiction work. He wrote The Chronicles of Narnia, most famously The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. And he wrote a book called The Screwtape Letters. The subtitle of Screwtape Letters is Letters from a Senior to a Junior Devil. Okay? Here's the framework. It's so creative. Here's the framework. There's an older senior devil, demon, named Screwtape. And he writes letters to give advice to a younger demon whose job it is to ruin this boy's life, okay? So there's a young boy, this demon's trying to ruin his life, and Screwtape writes him letters to give him advice. Here's one of the things that he says. When two humans have lived together for many years, it usually happens that each has tones of voice and expressions of face which are almost unendurably irritating to the other. Can anybody relate with that? You can raise your hand now. Here's what the advice is. Work on that. You can use that. Then he takes it down to kind of the boots on the ground level with this one little boy. Bring fully into the consciousness of your patient that particular lifts of his mother's eyebrow, which he learned to dislike in the nursery. Remind him of that little lift of her eyebrow. And let him think how much he dislikes it. Let him assume that she knows how annoying it is and does it to annoy him. If you know your job, he will not notice the immense improbability of this assumption. And of course, never let him suspect that he has tones and looks which similarly annoy her. Take a little thing about that relationship and sow just little lies in there and watch what it does to his relationship with his mother. You see how this works, right? I mean, you see what lies do to us. I've officiated about 100 weddings, many of them right here. And right after, in our liturgy, we pronounce people husband and wife. We say, those whom God has brought together, let nothing separate. And when I say that, I mean, I am praying that. Because here's what I know. There will be lots of things that will try to separate that couple that's standing right there. In fact, for some of them, it'll start that night. I mean, for some of them, it starts in the aisleway. There will be millions of little things that will seek to separate them. They've been brought together. But pretty soon, one of them will start saying, did I make the right decision here? Or one of them will start to believe, I know that he says that he loves me, but does he really? Look, I know that I said that I would keep only to her so long as we both shall live, but can I really keep? I know that he loves me. But does he love me as much as he loves his mom? That happens a lot. Look, I love her, but I think she's turning into her mom. And I don't love her mom. I'm not sure that she gets me anymore. And you can see this just a small step too, but I think she gets me. Man, she lifts her eyebrow just like my mom did. Did she teach her to do that? This happens with friendships. Look, you let somebody in your life start being vulnerable with them, and you just wait 2 weeks and watch what your brain does. He sure does talk about himself a lot. I don't know that he really cares about me. You know, he works with so-and-so, and I really don't want them to know. So I'm not going to share it with my friend either. Oh, you know what? She told so-and-so before she told me. I guess we're not as close as I thought that we were. Or, you know, I've always believed in God, but could a good God do that? Or wouldn't a good God do this? I believe that God can forgive people, but can he forgive what I just did? You know what lies do? Lies undo. Lies tear apart those things that God has put together. Lies tear apart marriages and they tear apart relationships. They seek to tear apart our relationship with God. They tear apart our healthy understanding of ourselves. If I'm honest with myself, I allow lies into my mind and I allow those to foster and fester. And then they move from my head into my heart, into my actions, and they can affect my relationships. And I've just come to a place where I want the lies to die. I want them out of my life. But here's what I know, and here's what I think you probably know also. It's easier said than done. These things take deep root. I mean, some of these things have been built inside of us for decades. How do I get that lie out of my life? And especially in a society where we're just saturated with untruths. I mean, we tell each other fabrications all the time. Facades, all the time. How do I get this out of my life? Well, here's the thing. Here's what we can rely on. We can rely on, and this I think is where our hope comes from, that we are not the first generation to deal with this. Yes, the father of lies wants a foothold in your life. That's true. But he's always wanted footholds in people's lives. We're not the first generation to have to deal with this. If you're following along with the book of Mark, you got 2 days left, okay? We're almost through this. If you're following along, we got 2 days left. And you can still catch up. This last week, one of the things that we looked at was the last 24 hours of Jesus' life. Just think with me for a second about the last 24 hours of Jesus' life. If you don't know about him, here's just a little bit, kind of Cliff Notes version. Some of you know about it. Peter, one of Jesus' disciples, he's hanging out with Jesus along with the other disciples, and Jesus says, look, here's what you need to know. Everybody's going to turn away from me. What does Peter say? Not me. I'm with you till the end. Jesus says, truly I say to you, you're going to leave me too. In fact, you're going to do it tonight. Tonight, before the cock crows twice, you're going to deny me how many times? Three times. Come on, Jesus. If I have to die with you, I will not deny you. Just a little bit later, Peter and two of the other disciples, they go into the garden with Jesus, the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus goes off to pray. They should be praying with Jesus, but what do? They fall asleep. And Jesus says to them, look, Peter, I know that your spirit is willing. I know that you want to do the right thing, but you just need to know your flesh is weak. If you think that you're going to be able to die with me, you can't even stay awake with me, buddy. If you think that you're going to be able to die with me, you need to know, I know that you want to do that, but you're lying to yourself if you think you actually can. Your spirit is willing, but your flesh is weak. Peter's lying to himself. He's lying to Jesus, and he's lying to the other people around him listening to him. Because then, later that night, he lies again. What does he do then? He lies to 1, 2, 3 people. I don't even know Jesus. I'm definitely not a follower of his. Then you get Jesus on trial. He's surrounded by people who want to see him crucified. They bring forth witnesses. And what do the witnesses do? They lie. In fact, they lie so much that their lies don't even work with each other. It's just a total mess. It's all lies. They take Jesus out before the people. And the people have the opportunity to free Jesus. And maybe they're going to, but then the religious leaders, they go around and they whisper lies into the people's ears so that the people end up chanting what? Crucify him, lies, all lies. And they sentence an innocent man to death. If you look at the last 24 hours of Jesus's life, it is saturated in the water that everybody is swimming in. It's all deception, it's all lies, it's all untruths, it's all falsehood. It's out of control. And then it leads to the cross. He's strung up. And he's up there for 6 hours. And the tension just builds. And then at that final moment, he cries out and the earth shakes. The curtain in the temple is torn. Supernatural things begin happening. And at the foot of the cross is a Roman centurion, a guard who's over 100 other Romans. Somebody who has seen people executed hundreds of times. There's no doubt about this. The earth shakes and he likely falls down. He has a spear in his hand and he stands up and I picture him leaning on it and he looks up at that man hanging on the cross. And he said, I know that everybody says that he's a thief and he's a blasphemer, he's a marauder, he deserved to die. But I know that he's innocent. I don't know what all of these other people say about him and who he is and all these things, but he looks at him and he says, and this is the scripture in your bulletin, surely this man was the Son of God. He has in his pocket a coin. Likely. Coins from that day had pictures of Augustus Caesar on them. And the title that is on these coins, under Augustus's face, is the title Son of God. Because he deemed that his father Julius was God. Look, I don't know anything about anything. I don't understand what just happened. But Caesar, no, Caesar's not the Son of God. He's not the real, are you kidding me? After what I just saw, this man is the Son of God. You've heard me say it if you've been here the last few weeks, but the whole book of Mark pushes you to answer one particular question. What is the question that the whole book is pushing you to answer? Who is this guy? Who is Jesus? The whole book pushes you towards that. And nobody up until this point has gotten it right. Nobody gets it. But at the foot of the cross, this Roman soldier cuts through all the lies and sees the truth and says, this man is the Son of God. Friends, if there's anything else that you need to know this morning, it's just this. Just like that guy found truth at the foot of the cross, the foot of the cross is where your lies can go to die. You can't make yourself stop believing these things. But if you take them to the foot of the cross, that foothold that the devil has in your mind cannot hold up. Here's what I mean. You take a lie that you believe, and you look at it through the lens of what Jesus did, and find out what happens to that lie. Net worth equals self-worth. Again, heard it on Oprah. Must be right, okay? You take that. You run that through the lens of the cross and find out if it can hold up. You find out if your worth is dependent upon your pocketbook. When you run that through the lens of the belief that Jesus died for you, and you find, actually, my self-worth is non-negotiable. There's actually nothing that somebody can do. There's nothing that I can do. No. My self-worth is non-negotiable. I'm a child of God. I'm a son of the king. I'm a daughter of the king. Run that through the cross and see what happens. Or, look, if you're at odds with somebody else and you're believing all kinds of untruths about them, not only do they hurt you, but they're a bad person now, and you're calling them names in your mind and all those things, run that through the cross. And yeah, maybe that person did hurt you. They were wrong. They shouldn't have done that, all of those things. But run that name that you're calling them, run that through the lens of the cross and find out what's happened. You know what you find out? Yeah, she might not be a great person, but she's someone for whom Jesus died. Run it through the lens of the cross and see what happens to that lie. It falls apart. One of the biggest lies that I believe, and I'm going to be a little bit vulnerable with you, and I need you to know, when I'm vulnerable with you in these moments, it's not because I'm encouraging you to come up afterwards and tell me, like, how great I am, okay? Like, I love that, and you're doing for me what my grandmothers can't do because they've passed on, and that's fine. But look, I'm not saying this because I need to say it. I'm saying this because I think that we all need to hear it. Look, here's a lie that I believe. I believe that the better people get to know me, the less people like me. I know that it's not true, but it's a lie that I believe. So you know that does my relationships. I'm looking for anything that affirms that lie. And then what do? I push back from people. I pull back from them. And if enough of us do that, what happens to our society? We create a culture where what do? We pull back from each other. We know lots of people and we have very few friends. We're more connected than any generation previously, and we're just as lonely as any generation has ever been. Because we believe the lie that if we let people in, they're going to hurt us. If we let people in, they're going to reject us. It's a lie that gets a foothold in our minds, then in our hearts, and then in our actions, and it can really hurt us. Run that lie through the cross and what happens? I mean, come on. Take that lie to the foot of the cross and what happens? It can't hold up because the person who knows me best loves me most. The person who knows everything about me was willing to give his life for me. Look, you believe this stuff? Okay, you believe what Jesus did on the cross is true. You believe that. You take those lies to the foot of the cross and you find out what happened. They're decimated. You can't get that lie out of your mind and you can't get that lie out of your heart. But you take it to the foot of the cross. And God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, can utterly decimate that untruth in you. What your dad did to you sowed deep-seated distrust in you. Your Father in heaven can get rid of that. Your marriage fell apart, and it's made you believe all kinds of things that are untrue about yourself. Everything that your ex-spouse did to you is nothing compared to what God can do for you. You take that lie to the foot of the cross, and Jesus will utterly destroy it. The father of lies wants a foothold in your heart, but that foothold cannot hold up under the weight of the truth of who Jesus is. You are a child of God, a son of the King, a daughter of the King. That is the truth. You live at the foot of the cross, and that other stuff, it begins to fall apart. So I'll wrap up with where I started. Standing there doing the dishes, I began to realize, okay. I'm believing some things that aren't true. It doesn't make me a terrible person, it just makes me a person. But those lies that I'm believing, they're affecting some relationships. And I just began to pray this simple prayer. Look, don't make this into like, look, it's just a simple prayer that you can pray right now. God, I don't want the father of lies to have a foothold in my heart. I don't want him to. I want those lies out of my life. I want those lies out of my mind. I want them out of my heart. I want those lies out of my actions. I want those lies out of my house. I want them out of my city. I want them out of my workplace. I want those lies out of me. And I just got to tell you, I have watched that prayer change two of my friendships, put my marriage on more solid ground, and rework the way that I interact with people at a professional level. I've watched it in 5 or 6 weeks, that prayer. Super simple. So you get nothing else, get this. The father of lies wants a foothold in your heart. That's what he wants. Because it will undo you. The foot of the cross is where lies go to die, not just to be held at bay. At the foot of the cross, those lies cannot hold up. And just pray this prayer. I don't want the father of lies to have a foothold in my life. And I'm telling you, friends, what the Lord can do with that prayer is unbelievable. You know, I had a few gut punches along the way, and maybe you did too. But what I walk away with is the assurance of the truth that Jesus came to set me free, to fully live, to take away any of those things that are getting in the way of me loving God, that are getting in the way of me loving the people that are around me. And I want those untruths out of my life, and I believe that he can do it. He is in the business of setting people free to fully live. Maybe this week, it's time for some lie to die. Will you spend some time this week, as I will, praying that prayer? I don't want the father of lies to have a foothold in my life any more. We're going to pray that now. We're going to sing one last song together, and then I hope that this week we'll go out praying that prayer. Let's pray together. Lord, we do not want the father of lies to have a foothold in our hearts. In our minds, in our actions, in our homes, in our workplaces. We don't want the father of lies to have a foothold in our city, in our nation, in our world. We want it out. And Lord, where that starts is with us individually. So God, that's just what I pray right now. For each of us that are here, from the youngest to the oldest, from the people that are hiding the most to the people that are hiding the least, every man, every woman here, all of us. Lord, get the lies out of our minds. Help us to name them and know that they're not true. Get those lies out of our hearts. Lord, we can't make ourselves not feel this way, but we can allow you to do that at the foot of the cross, Lord. Get those lies out of our actions. Get those lies out of our home. Lord, whatever it is that's permeating our home, the untruths that are causing tension, that are causing strife, Lord, bind that stuff up and get it out of our homes. Get it out of our workplaces. The way that the lies are affecting the way that we work with other people, are affecting our ability to love others. Get it out, Lord. In our city, in our nation, in our world. Lord, the father of lies has nothing on you, the Prince of Peace. The King, nothing on you. Lord, knock those things out of our lives and set us free to fully live as a son, as a daughter of you, reveling in the truth of your victory, the truth that we want to live in and the truth that we want to share with others. Set us free to fully love you and to fully love others. Thank you for your work that you've done and your work that you're doing. We pray these things in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.